This segment is going to be dedicated to issues about water, what you need to know, how much you need it, and what you need to do about it in order to take care of yourself. So, let's get started with the most important part, which is remaining hydrated. As you know, your body is made up of between 70 and 80% water, depending upon who you read and believe. That said, it's a pretty substantial amount of what makes everything in your mechanism work every day. Your brain, everything requires water. And the minimum amount of water necessary to sustain one human being for 24 hours is 2 gallons. According to the US EPA, an average family uses nearly 400 gallons of water a day. Let's get real though. You just got rousted from your house, you're excited, heart rate's running, high stress, heavy lifting, carrying a bag, exertion, being traumatized, stressed. Most people's monthly activity level in crushed into one day. You are going to burn off food, sweat off, and use away more than these minimums. We rapidly lose hydration through the normal process of sweat, and of course, depending upon the temperature outside or inside, wherever you are, that is going to have an effect. But you can sweat, and most people do, even in the cold weather. This is why you get hypothermia, because you sweat and then the sweat freezes. Sweating via an average of 2.6 million sweat glands in the average person, the brain triggers them in order to cool our skin and through evaporation. Unfortunately, you also lose electrolytes in the process, which are salts and other important minerals, all of which affects your ability to think clearly and your body to function properly. Water keeps your membranes from drying out, eyes, mouth, nose, and other areas, your ears, maintains optimal and stable heating and cooling. It facilitates blood flow, cellular reproduction, movement of life itself. It comprises at least 3/4 of your total body mass and substance. It supports the efficient removal of toxins and waste from your internal organs, and a whole bunch of other things, including molecular messages that are sent, and especially oxygen delivery around your body through bodily fluids. Crucial. So it's really important that you understand what it is that you need to know about about water when it comes to you and your life and your survival. So fat holds water. Infants typically have around a 70 to 78% water rate percentage. By age 1, they normally drop to around 65%. Interestingly, the average male and female don't share the same percentage of water. The average male normally runs approximately 60% water content, and then the average woman around 55% at age 40. With this in mind, this means that, and by the way, that contributes to aging because it causes negative impacts on your tissues, which plays a part in the aging damage to your skin and other things like that. So it's really important, though, that you learn to cut your way past the rhetoric about water treatment and go to what really matters. In another segment, I spoke about the safety of water and your intake of water, but I really want to focus and peer down on some things. So, for instance, in water myths, we have a series of water myths that people hear all the time, and they say, you know, you hear about the threes of survival and so forth. Forget about it. You need at least 2 gallons of water a day for you to survive properly. You need to be able to wash, to cleanse, to drink, to intake. Can you get to the point where you can keep in your mind that it is really crucial to recognize that when they talk about the threes of survival, and they say 3 days with 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food, this means to maintain a heart rate. They are not talking about the fact that at 18 hours, you will begin getting crippling headaches from no food and from dehydration. That within 48 hours, your ability to make intelligent thought processes will have exited stage right out the window. This is really critical. So every human requires a bare minimum of 1.9 to 2 gallons of water a day. This is really important to keep in mind. So let's look at a couple of other things. Moving water. There's a lot of people who believe this myth, which is moving water is safe to drink. I had a debate with a girl one time on a hike out at Mount Tamni, and she told me, well, it just came over a waterfall. That's as good as coming through a filtration system. Well, her dog was splashing around in the water with its butt in the water. Well, it's true that drawing water from a moving stream is always better than drawing water from standing or stagnant pond or lake. Even passing over waterfalls and rocks does not filter or remove Giardia or Cryptosporidium. Moving water is a beginning, not an end. That's where you take the water from so that you can then move on and go to filter and purify the water. Remember, parasites and other microorganisms take hold in that water and they will take hold in your body. You will allow them to enter and that will be the beginning of a major problem for you. Volatile organic compounds, toxic metals that are in the water, non-organic volatile chemicals, all of these things are present commonly. You must do things to take protective stance. Standing water is straight out. Water in natural depressions and natural catches are not safe to drink. If you ever want to see evidence of that, watch one of the people who are on Naked and Afraid, who are desperate and have little to no skills, and they decide that they're so thirsty that they make a bad decision and they decide to drink water out of a depression in a rock where the birds pooped and the animals crossed over and over again and contaminated the area. You have all kinds of problems. Birds fly, they have avian flu, squirrels have bubonic plague, they flop through the puddles, and then worms and all kinds of other things, and animals like coyotes and beaver, Giardia is also known as beaver fever, and much, much more. Please make sure that you pay attention to that. It's a little late in the season now, hopefully for us, but another myth that is out there regarding water is the myth that you can eat snow. Snow is really the worst. Snow, each flake of snow begins on a speck of dust, and often or not, that speck of dust could be a contaminant that is floating through the air. It could be one of 100 contaminants that you already recognize as being a threat to your health when it's on the ground or stirred up. You certainly don't want to intake it. And then there are others that are fungi that float around, and there's a pink fungi that grows on top of snow. People will look at it and go, ooh, look how pretty, let's roll around in it. And that fungi, Microdochium nivale fungus, I probably mangled the name, but it destroys crops. It greatly reduces seed germination and has also become resistant to fungicides, and you will find it growing on snow. It's what's known as pink snow mold. So this is a very common thing that's out there. So don't make the mistakes, please, that people repeat from one to another to another. You have to seriously consider what it is that is in front of you before you go to use it. And that takes us to another point, which is that of rainwater. Rainwater is a phenomenal source of water. way better for you, no matter what anyone says, than the best of a moving water stream or any other source for that matter, because at some point it has gone through the process of distillation from the sun, goes off in vapor up, becomes a cloud, and then rains down. So let me talk briefly about that. So let's apply the rules about rainwater catchment in the real world. So 1 inch of rain falls on 1 square mile area of land. The total volume of water from 1 inch of rain would be 187.1 million gallons of water. The average person in the U.S. uses 100 gallons of water to maintain their basic lifestyle. That's a total of 36,500 gallons of year per person. Do the math when you look at 1 inch of rain of 187.1 million gallons of water from 1 inch of rain that falls on 1 square mile area. And then think about it when you're hearing them talk on the news over the next few months, which I'm sure you can predict is coming, about how there's a bad drought and it's a 100-year drought and this is all about global warming and global climate change and so forth and so on, which has been happening for millennia, way before humans have come around, and will keep happening if we go away. The fact of the matter is the shortages of water that you heard about in California over the past few years have everything to do with them overbuilding and overpopulating. This is a topic no one wants to talk about. In a world that's based on Keynesian economics and based on the idea of spending more than you have and constantly building and spending into debt and turning places that are uninhabitable into making them inhabitable in order to make more people and allow for more population growth that's unsustainable. Remember, population grows to that which is sustainable. When it's not sustainable, they start to die until we fiddle around and interrupt that process and stop that from happening because we think we're helping, like we do in Africa and other places around the world, and places that won't sustain populations then do sustain it in a very negative way because we're giving them food and drugs that may or may not be that healthy for them. So remember, when you hear the things about that in California and other drought areas, none of that should matter. There are places in India where they get 1 inch of rain a year, and entire villages survive on the water they collect from that one rainfall. And you can do something like that too. The difference is in the United States, based on a consumerism mentality, they want you to buy, buy, buy. Now all these towns have made it illegal to be off the grid. Another couple of counties, I was reading one with my son on the phone the other day. There's a place called Babcock Ranch in Florida. They built an entire community, a town on its own, that it was intended to be 100% off grid. And they passed a law in Florida that said, you're not allowed to be off-grid. You have to be tied to the electrical grid because it's not safe for people to live without electricity. I'm a little confused about that. Why not just say, because we've invested so much money in the utility that we need them to make money and we're not going to cotton to you making it on your own and not paying. So they had to be grid tied, and they put in such a gigantic solar farm there that they can provide all the energy to that town that they need, and they don't need to go out. But it's only provided while the sun is out. So then they draw it in at night and the net metering thing comes on, and I don't want to get off track of the main point, but it's important to recognize. And the same thing has happened with water. So California, all about ecology, and they've made it illegal. They claim that the state owns the rain before it hits the ground, so you have no right to catch it. And state after state has been moving to this. Interestingly enough, a city like Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, who has the opposite problem, they have so much impermeable ground area that every time they get a substantial rain, it floods and they can't control it. They have no means to do anything with it. So what do? They now have put out to everyone, they'll even provide you with a barrel so you can catch water to use to water your plants. Because if it slows down the amount of water when it comes from the sky to the ground and you hold it for a while before it slowly dissipates, they don't have a flooding problem. In England, they had such a problem in shortage of clean water and flooding that now it's a law that requires you when you build a home or you do more than 30% of the building in rehab that you have to install, if I recall correctly, it's 1,500-gallon cistern in the ground at the house and hook it up so that your toilets and your laundry runs off of that on what's known as gray water or partial filtered water, which is not potable, but they can use it for that because it's taken the pressure off of the water shortage problem and the water flooding problem, and they win. It's mandated, not punished. The thing is, nobody makes any money off of the rain falling, though I'm sure they'll figure out a way right after they figure out how to tax us for the amount of excrement coming out of us by the foot or by the pound or something, because that's how the consumerist mentality happens. Remember, this is not about free market. This is about, and this is not about capitalism. This is about consumerism driving people to work, to buy, to work, and getting around what we believe, I hope, which is to be self-sufficient, so we move further and further away from needing to buy things from others. This will give you freedom and liberty unlike any other that you will ever find. Not being tied to having to work to make money or beg for money or beg for someone else to give you something in order to survive. When you can get up in the morning knowing you are capable of growing your food, of raising your food, of doing animal husbandry, of hunting, of doing whatever, so that you supply your own protein, your own greens, your own vegetables, so that you can survive and those with you can survive on your own. The freedom, the amount of ability to sever the fetters and ties of feeling like you are a slave to someone or something are so unbelievable, it will change your life. I feel like I'm being a preacher right now, but this is really important. This is what being prepared, being a survivalist is all about. Not prepping, throwing crap in the closet, and then going back to doing what you normally do, but being able to take care of yourself. Then, when you want to eat out at a restaurant, you go because you want something different. But if you can't, you can still take care of yourself. If you don't, you are still able to supply yourself with what you need, even if you can't do all of it. If you can do 10%, and then the next year do 20%, you can help yourself. Think about these numbers when it comes to rainwater catchment. 30 to 35% of rainwater gets evaporated into the atmosphere every year. 50 to 55% runs off into the salt oceans. The salt mixed into the rainwater makes it complex to make it potable and worthless to the groundwater table, soil, and crops. So that means that we've now shaved off 30 to 35%, 50 to 55%. So what are we talking? 80 to 90% of the water from rain gets wasted every time. Less than 10% of the rain becomes moisture in the soil feeding of vegetation. Less than 3% actually enters into and adds to the groundwater table. The fact is that rain comes down generally at a rate and a volume far exceeding the ability of surrounding environment to absorb it and make use of it. Destruction of habitats, uncontrolled excess erosion, This is why having thoughtful means to absorb water into the ground table, into the groundwater table, is so important. This is why you saw mandated 10 or 15 years ago, depending where you are, that every time they build a new building or build a commercial location and they put down impermeable material for a parking lot, they mandate a certain size based upon the size of the impermeable area for a catchment basin for all the water to run down in. Now remember, the problem is that in that asphalt that they're laying, if it was concrete, it would be substantially different. But in the asphalt that they're laying, there are all kinds of petroleum products, chemicals, and all kinds of other things that are in that asphalt that in the heat of the summer will be released into that water as it washes off. As it is, I experienced it firsthand, reminded yesterday, it had rained lightly and I came to stop at a stop sign and I slid a pretty substantial way up to the stoplight because it hadn't rained in a while, it was dry, all the oils came out, and then it mixed with the rainwater and it was very slick. It was like being on glass. So this is important. You can start by catching rainwater out of your downspouts. If you utilize a basic system, you can go on YouTube. There are hundreds of viable videos showing you how to divert the rainwater from your downspouts into 55-gallon drums, into IBCs. Think about it. This is an opportunity to sever another tie. You are not allowed to disconnect from water, but you can cut your water intake dramatically by catching water. You must learn, though, and it's way too complicated for me to cover in one or a couple segments. I do a class on it every so often. Go to the site, look at the site for this show. I will have links to my pages on practice survival that you can read about it. This is a useful skill, but recognize and remember one thing. Your needs are not at threat of water shortages if you have taken care of your own. You must have means to safely store water for yourself, and you must have it on hand before you need it. Not when you have no water to take to hold. You have to constantly have it and rotate it. Whatever way you choose to do it, and then grow from how you start. You can start by buying gallon bottles from Walmart. They, by the way, have been one of the highest rated ones that have tested over and over again well over the past 10 years. They're in HDPE bottles, so they're not going to leach. Remember, though, they will leak after they sit for a while, and if you put any pressure on them, they will flood leak out. So they are not long-term storage. You need to have a long-term storage means for water so that you can put it away. If nothing else, buy 10 or 15 5-gallon water cooler type bottles and put them away in your basement in a cold, dark area. Water never goes bad. It's only contaminants that are added or something that's in the water. You can always filter it after. If you have a sewer system or you have a rapid pure filter, you can filter it after to make it viable. If it starts to taste stale, it's because it's lost the oxygen out of it. You can pour it from one bottle back to the other, and it will pick up air and be aerated and be better. But these are critical things to recognize that you need to pay attention to. If you don't, it will come back and bite you. So again, get to know your water needs, get to know what to do to have water, how to handle it, how to purify it, how to filter it, how to make it safe, how to move it reasonably well and easily. These are all things that you have to think about now, because if you have to do that later, I challenge you to look at how hard it is to carry 5 gallons of water at 8.35 pounds a gallon from your car to your house, and then think about having to carry a bucket sloshing around from a water source like a lake or a stream up to an encampment that you have up a hill away from the water for a half a mile, and think about how well you're going to do with that day in and day out. You have to think about these things ahead of time and be prepared to handle them in a thoughtful way. That'll be it for this segment, and I'll touch more on these topics later on.